Good to be in church this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, John is thoroughly becoming a Kentuckian. He's not quite there yet. Still an Ohio guy, but you know, when you can see Tim McGraw, you're good. You're part of the you're part of the group now. You guys, we're in a series called in the Gospel of John, and we're in part 25 today. We're in John chapter 9, verse 35. And if you will go ahead and turn there, that'd be great. And we'll get the 10-minute counter up on the screen, and we will get going. All right, here we go. 2 weeks ago, guys, we saw Jesus heal a blind man. Last week, we saw how spiritual arrogance blinded the people to the truth. And this week is part three of this miracle. The Pharisees, instead of seeing a miracle, you guys know, threw the guy out and insulted him. If you were here last week, you knew that. And that's what spiritual arrogance does to you. And the story picks up here in John chapter 9, verse 35 through 41. Jesus heard they had thrown him out. And when they found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so I can believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so the blind will see, and those who can see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." So we have a blind man seeing and people that can see missing him. Isn't that interesting? Spiritual arrogance and spiritual blindness go hand in hand, you guys. You can't have one without the other. So why were there such widely varying responses to Jesus? Here was a guy who was blind, who worshipped Jesus and saw him in worship and became his follower. And the Pharisees saw the exact same thing, heard the exact same teaching, and yet went out and planned to kill him. They rejected him. So what is the difference between people who follow Jesus and people who reject Jesus? What's the difference? Well, there are two major differences we can see in this passage. And these are the things, quite honestly, that will determine whether you will embrace Jesus or whether you will reject him like the Pharisees did. What did the man have the Pharisees lacked? The first thing he had was brokenness. He had brokenness. C.S. Lewis said this, "Prostitutes are in no danger of finding their present life so satisfactory they cannot turn to God. The avaricious, the proud, the self-righteous are in that danger." Interesting. Someone once said, "Nothing improves your prayer life faster than big trouble." Can I get an amen? I mean, isn't that the truth? When is it that we truly cry out to God? Is it when things are going great? No, not really. Most of the time, when we're complacent, things are going great. There's food in the fridge. There's water on the tap. Things are going well for you. A lot of times, that's when we forget God. It's when things fall apart that we cry out to God. Remember, 2 weeks ago, Jesus, the disciples were asking, "Why did this happen? Who sinned so that this man was born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither. But this happened so that the power of God could be seen in his life." And a lot of times, God allows brokenness in our lives so that we will reach out to him, so that we will follow him, and so that we can see his power sometimes. See, unless a person is broken over their sin, over their life circumstances, over how sinful they are, they will reject Jesus, unless they are. Why? Because they see no need for him. It's one of the reasons why prison ministry is so much easier than church ministry. I don't know about you guys. If you've ever done prison ministry, you have 100% attendance. You do. There aren't people that say, "Well, the weather's kind of, it's not so good. I'm not going to go to class today." No. The people there are, I'm not saying they're all followers of Jesus, and I'm not saying that they're good, you know, good, great, great, wonderful people. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying that is that prison life has, they have no illusions of it being so wonderful that they don't need God. And we, unfortunately, are in that danger because a lot of times we don't embrace brokenness. We don't think it's a good thing. And it's brokenness that brings us to God. It really is. So if things are going badly, things are rough, this man was blind, and yet how did he wind up? He wound up seeing Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. The Pharisees were perfectly fine, healthy, for all we know, all their lives, and yet they wound up rejecting Jesus. So at the end of the day, who turns out better? The man born blind, the broken one. Okay? So he had brokenness. The second thing he had was teachability. Teachability. John 9:36, he says, "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so I may believe in him." "I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry. I want to be taught. I want to know." If you don't have brokenness and you don't have teachability, you will never become a follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is drawn towards people that are teachable. Crowds are pressing all around him. Every time, everywhere we go, we see crowds pressing around Jesus. And there's one person that he will single out and go after because that person is teachable. All throughout Scripture, you see that. In fact, Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out on a mission trip. Yes, Jesus sent his disciples out on two mission trips, short term. He told them, if you enter a town and they won't accept your message, if they are not teachable, shake the dust off your feet and move on. That's what he said. Don't spend your time trying to teach people that aren't teachable. Don't try to reach people that aren't teachable. That's what he was saying. So two questions, church. Are you broken? And are you teachable? Those are the questions this morning. If you're broken but not teachable, this is what happens. You will never get better. You will be like a bird hitting a window, never having any victory over sin, never having any healing, always struggling with the same stuff for the next 40, 50 years of your life. That's what happens if you're broken but not teachable. Matter of fact, you become comfortable with your brokenness. It becomes your identity, and you start celebrating it. If you're not teachable, that's not where God wants you to be. That's not what God wants for you. But if you're teachable but not broken, you'll learn more and more and more about Jesus, but you'll never really know him. You'll never really follow him. You'll have all kinds of knowledge about the Bible, about the Son of God, but you will never follow him. If you're teachable but not broken, you'll never receive forgiveness or healing because you'll never see the need for either. And you'll never embrace the adventure that God has for you because you're not ever, you never see the need for it. So ultimately, you walk away from Jesus just like the Pharisees. So what's your attitude when you encounter Jesus? What is your attitude when you hear about the forgiveness of sins, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the love of God for you and for every person in this world, his mission and his calling for those who serve him? What is your attitude? Well, two types of people. In this world, they're dogs and they're cats. Now, I happen to be a cat lover. I love dogs too. I love cats, but I'm not a big fan of cats when it comes to this. See, the dogs and cats both have owners. And the dog looks at the owner and says, "Wow, this guy provides for me. He loves me. He gives me food. He gives me water. He scratched me behind the ears. He must be God." That's what the dog says. The cat looks at the owner and says, "Wow, this person provides for my every need, gives me food, gives me water, provides everything I need, scratches me behind the ears. I must be God." See, two radically different ways of looking at things, okay? Well, which are you this morning, church? Which are you? Do you look at the cross, the gift of Jesus' salvation for the whole world, Jesus' ultimate sacrifice, the gift of eternal life, and say, "Wow, Jesus loves me, died for me, given me eternal life, he must be God"? Or do you look at Jesus and say, "Wow, Jesus loves me, died for me, he's given me eternal life, I must be God"? The cross, people, an echo of your self-worth, of something that you inherently deserve, something you feel that a gift God has given you because, or is it a gift that God has given you because he is God? We have tons of cats in churches these days, people. We really do. We may not like to admit it, but we really do. Cats feel entitled to grace. They feel entitled to answered prayers. They feel entitled to a place in heaven. And when it doesn't happen, they get offended and walk away and mad and they sulk and they pout. And they may even criticize God for not giving them what they feel like they deserve. Dogs, on the other hand, are just happy to be with the master. Doesn't really matter what the master does. Whatever the master does is awesome. They just kind of feel happy to be tagging along. Dogs feel it's an honor just to live in the house of the master. The blind man looks at Jesus and says, "You healed me. You provided what I needed. You must be God." You can almost hear the guy say, "Woof." When he says in John 9:36, "Who is he, sir?" The man asks, "Tell me so that I may believe in him." So are you a dog or are you a cat? Are you broken? Are you teachable? How are you approaching the God of the universe this morning? I want to invite you to stand up and worship like the blind man did 2,000 years ago.